Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Many of you are praying and fasting over January, and we need for you all to fill these commitment cards out. You don't need to put your name on here, but we want to track whether how many are doing a partial fast, how many are doing a complete fast, how many are doing the 21-day fast. But just fill one of these out today. If you haven't done so, several of you have brought them in and put them in the white buckets. And my plan is, there is a method to my madness, but I want us to track and see what God's doing through prayer and fasting this month. And the prayer guides are still back there. There's a few of those left if you haven't done so. But this is going to be a marvelous month. God's going to do some things this month that we've not seen Him do here the last 10 months because God's people are praying and fasting. And so fill out these commitment cards, guys, and put them in the white buckets back here if you would. My plan is maybe the first Sunday in February to have a great praise and testimony service. I know that's totally different for a lot of you, but I would love for us to kind of participate in something like that, just to see what God's. So I keep a spiritual journal and I write down the things that God's teaching me and convicting me of and directing me in, and I just make a few notes in my journal every day. And so keep track of that because you'll forget. And then later on, you can go back and read what God did during these great days. And so I want to pray for all of us right now during this season. It's so important that we as a body pray and fast and together. And many of us have never. I'm just a rookie when it comes. You can tell by looking at me. I'm a rookie when it comes to fasting. But there's something about fasting and abstaining from food for a season, praying with a spiritual goal in mind, that really gets you on praying ground. Really, really does. And so let's pray together, church family, okay? And you, while I'm praying, you be thinking about the people that you're sitting around and be lifting them up as well. Father, thank you for this this spiritual discipline that we call prayer and fasting. And many of us, Lord, are not acquainted with this in our lives. We've kind of gotten away from that. But Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, do it like this. And so, Lord, we want you to know this is between us and you. I don't have to go out here and tell everybody what I'm doing. But, Lord, we want to make this sacrifice of probably the most natural desire we have to abstain from food for a season during this month of January, however, whatever that looks like, and then pray with a spiritual goal in mind, and that, Lord, we might draw closer to you, and that you might usher in your presence and power on our lives in a way that we've never experienced before. Oh, God, we need you. We need you. Lord, I pray for every person that's here today. I just supernaturally lay spiritual hands on every family that's in here today and ask God that you might speak to us, Lord. We need to hear from heaven in these days. And so speak to all my brothers and sisters. Speak to every family during this month about what it is that you're calling us to do. And we promise to give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to be your servants. Thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have a Bible, be finding Ezra chapter 8. And we're going to be in verses 21, 22, and 23. And while you're finding those scriptures, let me just kind of introduce the message this morning. Thank you for the prayer, Lydia. We can't pray enough for one another. One of my favorite songs, well, I guess it is the favorite song off of the soundtrack from the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Y'all guess what my favorite song in that? Let's Go Down to the River. We had two of our young girls that just brought the house down with that song a few months ago as they sang Let's Go Down to the River. And I think that song was sung by Alison Krauss, and it's been used greatly in a lot of different ways. But the song talks about going down to the river to pray. 2,500 years ago, there was a man by the name of Ezra who went down to the river Ahava to pray and fast. Now, you don't know much about Ezra. Probably don't know a whole lot about him. But I want to tell you, this was a great man of God. Ezra was a priest and a preacher and a scribe. Ezra chapter 7 verse 6 says that he handled the word of God marvelously. He was a fantastic preacher and a great priest and a wonderful scribe. Did you know that Ezra probably wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles? And there's great evidence that he wrote the great 119th Psalm. And if you want to, if you like reading about great revival meetings, I would encourage you this afternoon to turn to Nehemiah 8, when Ezra asked the people of God to stand. And he read the Word of God and preached the Word of God, and revival fell amongst God's people. Fantastic story. But in 510 B.C., King Cyrus of Persia made a decree that 50,000 Jews, exiled Israelites who were living in Babylon, could then go home to Jerusalem, 50,000 of them, in order to rebuild the temple. Well, that took place, and in 458 B.C., King Artaxerxes of Persia decreed that Ezra could take 2,000 exiled Jews back to Jerusalem now that the temple had been rebuilt, for the purpose of restoring worship and revival amongst the people of God. And so this would take 5 months for this little 2,000, and they were basically Levites, priests, temple singers, temple guards, temple workers, about 2,000 of them, their families. And they were going to trek across the desert from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem. But before they did that, with the king's blessing, they went down to the river, Ahava, to pray and fast. This is so applicable for us today. If you have found Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, I want to invite you to stand if you're able to honor God's word. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, 22, and 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava. Say Ahava with me. Ahava. That we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemies on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, "The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him." So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. Isn't that glorious? Let's pray together. Our most awesome Heavenly Father, full of grace and mercy, we beseech You, Father. We plead with You. We cry out to You, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I mentioned, these exiled Israelites were about to head back home. And they would encounter tremendous danger and opposition. This wasn't going to be an easy trip. About five months across the desert from Babylon down to Jerusalem. And so they would need to know that God was with them. How many of you understand we need to know that God's with us? Yes. And so before they make this journey, before they go to restore worship and revival among God's people, Ezra saw the need to pray and fast. And there's at least three, maybe more, reasons that Ezra felt the need to pray and fast. And the first one is found there in verse 21. Prayer and fasting help us to discover God's will. Prayer and fasting helps discover God's will. Say that with me. Prayer and fasting helps discover God's will. Now, a lot of things would need to be done. And let's read 21 one more time. Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Now, not only was the trip going to be a long trip, the journey, but once they got to Jerusalem, magistrates and judges would need to be appointed. The temple choir needed to be put together. The singers needed to know what to sing and how to sing and what to sing. And then the temple guards needed to know what their schedule was going to look like. And the temple workers, the priests, and the Levites would be responsible for ministering the word to God's people. And they needed to know how and when. And so you need all these 2,000 folks and their families needed. They had questions. They needed to know how they were going to all function together in order to restore worship. Are y'all with me? And so what they needed was the direction, the guidance. They basically needed God's will. They knew overall what God wanted them to do, but they needed God's will as to best know how to go about doing what God had called them to do. Is that not applicable for us today? I want to park right here and I want to say this. I don't know a lot about prayer and fasting, but I can tell you this. When a believer, any believer, whether it be man, woman, boy, girl, any believer that engages in prayer and fasting, in other words, abstains from the most natural desire we have to eat. Can I just confess to you? I love to eat. I do. I like eating. But when we abstain from food, from eating, for a set time, for a season, for a period of time, praying with a spiritual goal in mind, surrendering control of our lives to His control, I want to tell you the power of God falls fresh on you. The power and the presence of God falls fresh on those who would pray and fast for God to be glorified. The power, you want the power of God in your life? I want to tell you, God, I believe, brothers and sisters, wants to pour His power and presence out on and in our lives. Look at your neighbor and say, you need the power of God. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you need the presence of God. Well, the power and the presence of, we need fresh oil. We need a new anointing for this season, just like Ezra did. We're on a journey of faith. Hello? We are. Now, I don't know if y'all realize what a great crowd we've got today. Where have y'all been? What a great crowd today. I had an old preacher tell me one time, said, Cal, you better be careful with that because wherever there's a crowd, there could be a funeral. So I'll let you think about that. But listen. March 25th was our grand opening service, our big launch. And man, since that time, for the last 10 months, God has blessed the church. Has He not? And we've seen folks come from all different walks of life. We've got young folks, we've got old folks, we've got some wealthy folks. We've got some poor folks. We've got folks that we've got all kinds. God's put all kinds of people up in here. And since March 25th, we've seen 30 or 31. I need to go back and count. But preacher-wise, we've baptized 31. Okay, it could be 30, but we've seen people come under the obedience of God's call and command for baptism in their life, and we've seen a lot of folks saved. We've seen how many of you have really enjoyed the ministry over at Summit Heights? Hadn't that been wonderful? Three of you? Y'all need to get out more if you haven't. We're doing community ministry. We ought to be involved doing ministry in our community down here on the river. And so I'm so excited about what God's done these last 10 months. And then I got my, did y'all get your Baptist and Reflector newspaper this week? Did you look in there? Shan's going to give a report here a little bit later. I don't want to steal his thunder, but I'm going to tell you what. Y'all been giving to missions. And any church that gives to missions, God's going to bless that church. But I want to tell you, these are crucial days for Second Mile Church. What's going to happen over the next few months here, in large part, will determine what kind of future we're going to have. We need to fast and pray. We need to go down to the river to pray. March 11, 12, and 13, Jesus and the General Jackson Rally is going to rear its head again. And we're going to need preachers and churches to come together for that. To fill up that boat three times a day with lost folks. We're going to need folks who will help park cars and line people up and down the streets. We're going to need folks who will greet and welcome people. We're going to need nursery workers. We're going to need all kinds of help those 3 days. And that's just going to be, I think, we're just going to touch the hem of the garment. I'm praying that we'll see thousands of people saved in and around those. Wouldn't it be wonderful for revival to fall on Clarksville before the boat got here? Yeah. We need to pray. We need to go down to the river, folks, to pray. I don't know what your journey's looking like right now. Maybe your family's facing some uncertain days. Can I just say to you, let's go down to the river to pray. Maybe you need revival in your life. A fresh anointing from God. Let's go down to the river to pray. Maybe there's a need, a real need in your family. Maybe it's one of your kids and your kid's really struggling, can't figure out what he or she needs to be or do. Let's go down to the river to pray. We need to discover God's will. And that comes through prayer and fasting. You know how many times I've been asked, how do you know what the will of God is for your life? Here it is right here in verse 21. If you want to know what God's will is, hallelujah. Maria, where are you? Over here. Wave at everybody. Stand up so they can really see you. I mean, doesn't she look good for going through cancer? And chemo, radiation. I mean, she's been through it. She's young enough where they really poured it to her. And I want to tell you, yes, this week sometimes she got a clean bill of health. Hallelujah. And sister, we've been praying for you. God's people have been praying. We need to go down to the river together to pray. And when you do that, prayer and fasting helps you to discover God's will. Secondly, prayer and fasting helps us depend on God's way. When you understand what God's will is through prayer and fasting, then God helps you to depend on His way. Look at verse 22. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us. Man, this verse is so like me. against the enemy on the road, because we'd spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all of those who for good seek Him, but His power and wrath are against all those who forsake Him. You know, as 2,000 of these Jewish captives are about to be set free and return home to Jerusalem to restore worship and revival in the city of God, they're down by the river. They're about to fast and pray, and they're down by the river. And here's what Ezra does. He starts looking at all these folks. And you got, I mean, I understand. I get this. And he starts thinking about the journey they're about to go on. 5 months out in the desert with little children, with senior citizens, folks with health problems. 5 months. Robbers, thieves, bandits, danger. And then when they get to the city, I mean, they're going to have opposition. How many of you know the devil's working again? He doesn't want to see worship and revival take place. And so they're going to encounter opposition. How would they accomplish what God wants them to do? And so he's sitting here looking at this crowd of, can I call them a motley crew? And he's thinking, you know, the king and I have already talked, and he offered to send an escort of soldiers to protect us on our way. And evidently, Ezra had shot his mouth off, much like Pastor Cal probably would have done, and said, oh, we don't need that. Our great God will provide and protect us. He's going to take care of us. Anybody who comes against us, God's going to take care. God's going to deliver us. Don't you worry about an escort, king. And now he's sitting there looking at all these folks. I must have been a complete idiot. And then the thought came to him, maybe I ought to go back to the king and ask for an escort. And then the realization hit him. As soon as I do that, the king's going to say, well, I thought you were going to trust your great God for provision and protection. Anybody in here identify with that? Boy, I sure can. I talk a good game. But when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty, I mean, when the rubber really hits the road, here's the deal. Am I going to depend on God's way or not? And oftentimes, y'all, I'm not like the mule. Well, I don't know, Diana. I'm kind of stubborn sometimes. But I tell you, when it comes to God's will, a lot of times I'm like the horse. I'll get out in front of God. And I'll start trying to orchestrate things. And I'll start trying to fix everything. And I'll start trying to do everything. Rather than depending on God's way, I'm going to do it Cal's way. Guys, are there any other males in here that want to do that? If you've got just a little testosterone running through your veins, you're the same way. That's the way we men are built. God made us the way we are with these big egos. Why? So that we could provide and protect our families. But those gifts from God are a double-edged sword. Sometimes we can get to thinking, you know what? I can do this. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Right. Nothing. But one of Isaac's favorite scripture verses is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, this year on this journey of faith that we're on, Second Mile, if we'll pray and fast, if we'll go down to the river, and by the way, we're already on the river. I was down here Friday morning praying with John Franklin, and the water had gotten up over the bank and was inching toward the building, Gordon and Sandra. And I'm sure y'all have seen that many times. And so let me just tell you, we're not only on the river, we may be in the river. And we're going to have to trust God. We know what His will is. It's not His will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. And I believe with all of my spirit and my heart of hearts, God's going to save Clarksville. Well, Pastor, you're crazy. Yeah, I am. But I serve a great big God. And He wants to use churches like this one over the next few months and years to bring Clarksville to her knees so that once again Montgomery County will be like a city set on a hill that brings glory to God. It can happen. It's happened in other places. Y'all ever heard of Clay County, Kentucky? Manchester, Kentucky? Do a Google search on that when you get home today. God moved on that community and turned it upside down for the glory of God. And so what fasting and prayer does, or prayer and fasting, helps us to discover God's will. And then it helps us, once we find out what God's will is, it helps us to depend on God's way to get His will done. Oh, that's good. There's one final thing. Prayer and fasting also helps to discern God's word. Say that with me. Prayer and fasting helps to discern God's word. This is fantastic. Look at verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. Say, hoo-wee. The word entreat there means to ask, to the point of pleading, crying out, calling with all of your passion. As this bunch of exiles was about to head home to Jerusalem, they understood what God's will was. And they knew now that they had to depend on God's way. And so they needed a word from God. And the Bible says as they fasted and prayed, they called out, they cried out to God, He answered their prayer. You know what answered prayer is? That's a word from God. If God has answered a prayer for you, His word has been given to you. Well, how do you know He did that? Look at verse 31. Look at verse 31. Then we departed from the river of Ahava. See, there is a point in time when you need to get off the riverbank. Hello? And you put feet on your prayers. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And He delivered us from the hand of the enemy. Shout double amen. Amen. And from ambush along the road. Didn't God say He would do that? Yes. Isn't that what He did? Yes. That's answered prayer. So we came to Jerusalem and stayed there 3 days. Now on the fourth day, the silver and the gold and the articles were weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas. And with them were the Levites, Jozabad and the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui, with the number and weight of everything. I did pretty good with those names, didn't I? With the number and weight of everything, and all the weight was written down at that time, the children of those who had been carried away captive, who had come from the captivity, offered burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all of Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 male goats as a sin offering, and all this was a burnt offering to the Lord. That's answered prayer. God had not only protected them in their journey across the hot desert, but once they got to Jerusalem. Now, you remember when King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, had overrun Jerusalem, he took all of the utensils and the gold and the silver out of the temple and took all that where? The spoils of victory. What did he do with that? Took that back to Babylon. And so King Artaxerxes said, tell you what, Ezra, we're going to send all the gold and the silver and the utensils that you use in the temple for work, we're going to send all that back home with you. And the king even added to that. How many of you know God will even add a little to your stash every now and then? And then after all the silver and the gold were weighed and put in place in the temple, They had a worship service. They offered up sacrifice after sacrifice to the Lord. There is nothing quite like getting a word from God. And during this month of January, I'm praying that God would revive my spirit and that He'd make me more like Jesus than I've ever been before. And I'm praying for you all that you'll hear from heaven and that the Word of God will speak to everybody in this fellowship so that you'll be able to discover what God's will is. And then you'll be able to depend on God's way. And you do all of that through being able to discern God's Word. Oh, we are on the threshold of 2019. And God wants to pour His power and His presence and His love and grace and mercy. That's just who God is. He wants to do that for us, to us, in us, and through us. And the question is, are we going to say yes, Lord? My brothers, my sisters, I want to challenge you to pray and fast. Get in your prayer closets at home, just you and the Lord. Take your Bible in there with you. Take your little spiritual notebook and jot down the things that God's revealing to you. And then come together. Let's come together corporately as we pray and fast this month. I know everybody's super busy. I get that. I spent a lot of years doing something else besides pastoring and preaching. I understand how I know what it's like to work 60 hours a week and then try to drag your family to church. I get all that. But what could God do if we went individually to our prayer closets and prayed and fasted this month? And then we met midweek on Wednesdays. And we really began to praise God and pray to God on Wednesday evenings. What could God do? The sky is limitless. God can do anything. If He can save an old rotten soul like mine, He can save anybody. And He can turn your family around. Whatever issues you've got in your family, whatever you'd like to see God do, we talked about this yesterday. God can make a way even when there is no way. We could give people to stand right now and give testimony to that right now. But what could God do in 2019 through Second Mile Church if we just go down to the river and pray? Bow your head with me. As our musicians are coming, let's make this a time of introspection. You may be here and you didn't know about this prayer and fasting going on. We've got a table right over here to the side going out the door, and you can grab that material there. But most of you in here have heard something about it. And I want to ask you to challenge you to follow through with what you're feeling led to do this month in this area of prayer and fasting. And we're going to open up this altar right now for prayer. God's been speaking to some of your hearts already today and this week. And there's issues that God's people need to know about so we can pray for you. And you need to bring those burdens to the Lord today. I just want to ask you to bring those burdens to Jesus. This is an hour of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's what Jesus said. And you need to come for prayer. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your city, your job, da-da-da-da, whatever. Revival. You come. This altar's open. There'll be people to hear to pray with you and for you. And by all means, if you want God to hear your prayers, you need to be saved. If you're not sure about your salvation, man, we can help you figure that out. Show you how to leave here born again with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I ask now during the time of response, anytime we hear God's word, we're required to say yes or no. We have to respond in obedience or disobedience. Anytime we read, hear, study the word of God, we have a decision to make. Lord, may our yes be yes. In Jesus' name. Could have come today in a spirit of obedience. I want to thank you for those that have made decisions there in the chairs. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done here today, and you've spoken to our hearts. We ask you to speak at the beginning of the service, and God, you've spoken. And I want to thank you for this spirit that is amongst us right now. God, I feel like Simon Peter, it's good for us to be here today. We want to bask in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for meeting here with us today. I thank you so much, God. Go with us now with the greatest news anyone could ever receive. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and tongue confess that He is Lord. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, Amen. Thank you all.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.